and doing your own will. Children know that before they reach the age of reason. Did you know that? Your mothers, do children have a self-will before they reach the age of reason? Do they? Do they make some slight sound when they want their will to be fulfilled? Do they? As husbands have told me, Father, I haven't had a straight night's sleep since my first baby was born. And that's the world's philosophy. Having done my graduate work and my degree beyond theology also, graduate degree in philosophy, taught philosophy over the years, every false philosophy, you name it, Hegel, Immanuel Kant, Fichte, Spinoza, William James, John Dewey, you name the philosophers. Every single false philosopher writes books to defend the philosophy of this world. Happiness consists in doing your will. At least some of these philosophers were honest, like Immanuel Kant, K-A-N-T, who has penetrated the whole, especially English-speaking world, taught in every university that I know of in the country, Kantian philosophy. This is Immanuel Kant. He defines a person's conscience as each individual's own free will. You decide what is good and what is bad. How it pains me to say this, but I must say it. And in 1968, the same year that Pope Paul VI issued Humanae Vitae, as we all know, declaring that contraception is a grave sin, the same year, bishops throughout the world, but I'm speaking specifically of our American hierarchy, page after page of pious jargon, but then the key statement, however, provided a couple have good reason, they are to follow their conscience and tell the Holy Father to mind his own papal business. I am paraphrasing the bishop's statement. If doing one's own will is the foundation of human happiness, is it any wonder that we have so many people, including our nation, who are unhappy? How is the commandment, you shall not kill, at the heart of the covenant between God and his chosen people? I could use a watch, by the way. Thank you. Answer. It is at the heart of the covenant, because it expresses the core of God's authority over the human race. The fifth commandment, we are being told, is the core of God's authority over the human race. Human life is a direct gift of the Creator. One, because at every conception, God must immediately create the human soul. That's why. And speaking to one pro-life group after another, last night, a mixed group, Catholics and others. But it's the Catholic Church that alone provides the foundation for the pro-life movement. Who else, I don't see, believes, even suspects, as we believe infallibly, that the moment, the very moment, the ovum is fertilized, at that moment, God creates out of nothing a human, immortal soul. Once the fifth commandment is disobeyed, no other moral commandment of God has any validity. I think this too is the first time I'm saying it. There are no longer any binding laws in the United States. Period. There are no longer any binding laws in the United States! Why not? Because once our government legalized murder, legalized the breaking of the fifth commandment, what else rationally can that same hypocritical government legislate? There's only one wonder that I have when I speak on this subject, and the wonder is that now, for over 22 years, there has been no revolution in the United States over the vast murder of so many innocent children. No revolution. Millions have been brainwashed. That is why abortion undermines the whole moral foundation of human civilization. How is murder, including abortion, the work of the devil? A great grace in my life that I'm now living at the only national headquarters of the Opus Angelorum. You know, the community founded just about 20 years ago, but building on an older, centuries-old religious institute whose official name is Canons Regular of the Holy Cross. But their apostolate, among others, is to promote devotion to the angels, to the good angels, and to protect people from the evil spirits. Never in my judgment, not only mine, but in the judgment of the chief exorcist of Rome, with whom I discussed the work of the devil in our day. No question, he said, no question. Never in the history of the human race has the devil been more successful in seducing more people than in our century. Back to the question raised by the Holy Father. How is murder, including abortion, the work of the devil? Is the work of the devil because the successful temptation of our first parents brought death into the world? That's how death came into the world. It was through his enemy that death came into the world. So there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 ways in which murder is the work of the devil. First, because no human being would have died. That was God's plan. Had the devil not successfully seduced Eve, and she then, her husband. Secondly, murder, including abortion, is the work of the devil, because it was through his enemy that death came into the world. Again, I don't think I've ever said this before publicly. The main reason behind abortion is women envying men. I wouldn't dare say this, except with almost a half a century of priestly experience behind me. I've counseled enough women who wanted abortions. Some had them in spite of my exhortation. Some I persuaded to bring the child to birth. So the woman says she's pregnant. So he thinks he can make me give birth to this child. Well, you got another guest coming. I think I've told this to you before. Sigmund Freud, I had to read for several years to get my graduate degree in psychology. Freud says, in all his years of psychiatric practice, he's never met a single woman client who did not envy men. He's never met one. Envy is the main reason for murder over the centuries. As the Gospels tell us, it was envy of Christ, that brought on his crucifixion at the hands of the envious scribes, Pharisees, and priests. Thirdly, it was the devil who Christ says is a murderer from the beginning. And Christ said that the devil is a murderer from the beginning. What he meant was, he continues murdering. In other words, is this question, how is murder, including abortion, the work of the devil, is an ordinary question, so that the answer is yes. Yes, the devil is behind abortion. That answer has been revealed by Jesus Christ. Christ says the devil is the murderer. Every murder somehow has the devil behind it. Never thought I'd live to read with my own eyes. It's in my files. and the newsletter sent to all the members of a once flourishing religious community of women. There were directives given, shall we still call them nuns, on how to practice witchcraft. And hear this. And the women deities, the goddesses, by now their numbers are beyond counting, of the feminist movement. Did you know that? They are all devils, having taught comparative religion for over 30 years. Hinduism, Buddhism, books I've published on these non-Christian religions, courses I've taught. The feminine deities of the non-Christian world, in our vocabulary, are the evil spirits. And among the sacrifices that these goddesses demand is the sacrifice of children. Do you still hear me? Oh, how much we still have to learn about the abortion movement. We continue. He is also a liar and the father of lies. Again, in the Gospels, the teaching of Christ. How are the devil a liar in the culture of death, as the Holy Father calls it? By deceiving. Oh, how clever the devil is. By deceiving people into thinking, hear it, that murder is an act of mercy. And in one hospital after another, I'm sure you know, women who are carrying a child, and now science can tell us so much about that unborn child in the womb. If it shows signs of defects or the beginnings of disease, in some hospitals, the women are just recommended to have an abortion. Other hospitals, they are told. In still other hospitals, they are coerced. And in still other hospitals, they're not even told. They have a miscarriage. That's a lie. The medical profession kills that child. I know too many medical practitioners. I know them well. I've spoken to physicians on just this subject. And finally, the devil, by deception, leads people, quote, to projects of sin and death, making them appear as goals and fruits of life. I ask people, who do you think will be our next president? And most people I've talked to tell me, I hate to say, but I think it's going to be the same president we've got. This is no ordinary Sunday homily. We've got a whole nation that has been seduced by the evil spirit . That is why there's no human power on earth can stop the massive murder about which this class, as you know, is talking. Only God's grace, only miracles of grace. In my now 7 years of offering Mass at Jesu Church, but I will, by the way, the next 3 weeks, 6:30 Mass at Jesu Church. So I'm living in Jesu Rectory. I've yet to offer one Mass, and by now I've offered hundreds of Masses at Jesu. One single Mass begging the Lord to stop the crime of abortion. Question 116. Has the Church changed her teaching on the grave sinfulness of murder? No. It has remained constant since the first century. And let me tell you, I would say there are many other gifts of Christianity to the human race. But two of the greatest gifts that Christ brought to the world, in my judgment, are the gift of monogamy to marriage. One man, one woman, and only those two, and a lifelong commitment until death. There was no monogamy before Christ came into the world. Zero. There is no monogamy in any religion of the world today. None. And as we now know, more and more Christians and a growing number of Catholics, if they still know how to spell the word monogamy, they have forgotten what it means. And the growing scandal of annulments in one diocese after another. Dear God, spare us. Spare us. Spare the Church in our country. And the second great gift in monogamy is one of the great gifts of Christianity to the world. The second great gift is the sanctity of human life from the moment of conception until natural bodily death. Handicapped children. My first assignment as a priest, when I finished my graduate studies in Rome, I was to teach theology in September of that year. But I was hospitalized in Rome. They told me, look, you'll never be able to stand in Rome, go back to the States. So they shipped me back. Or better, they flew me back. That was April. April to September, I was chaplain at a school for retarded girls in Chicago. And I came to just, oh, I love those little children. Handicapped in every possible way. But mentally, And I found out they were not going to confession. My gosh. So I began hearing their confessions. And I've had the privilege of giving the commencement talk when the girls graduated. At the age of 16, they reached the age of reason, all dressed in their fine caps and gowns, and me giving, well, the commencement address. I told those little girls they'd all reached by that time at least some semblance of the age of reason. My dear girls, how fortunate you are. You are surely going to heaven. If I could envy you, I would. Here in Detroit, the doctor said, this party, this person, unconscious. No way of recovering health. So withdraw. Well, the medical profession has invented artificial feeding and drinking. That's a medical lie. On the next issue of our magazine, the Catholic Faith magazine, will have a very hard-hitting article against denying artificial feeding or hydration. The sanctity of human life, the more handicapped, the more precious. The harder it is on the parents, the better. Why? Because then, remember the question we asked before? What's the highest purpose of our life? To sacrifice our life for another person. I'm not sure you'll have any raising of hands. Do any of you have handicapped either children or brothers or sisters in your families? Congratulations. Congratulations. What a gift. Then you can really live your life as God wants you to. And the more it costs, I don't mean so much financially, but in all the care that has to be exercised, the more you are showing your love for God by respecting human life. They continue. As shown on questions 116, as shown in the Didache, the Christian faithful are told, quotes, there are two ways, a way of life and a way of death. There is a great difference between them. And according to the precept of the teaching, you shall not kill. According to the precept of teaching, you shall not kill. The faithful are told, you shall not put a child to death. And the word is a child to death by abortion. Do you hear that? What's the date of that document? 9090 AD. Now, kill it once it is born, and that is the way of death. I've said this before, and I'll repeat it. My Vatican Superior for the Catholic Catechism is Cardinal Ratzinger. I think I've quoted at least many, if not most of you. Told a friend of mine, if things continue the way they are, I predict that all the Catholics of the whole world can be put into St. Peter's Square. God spare us. But the number of really, sincerely believing and living Catholics, that number is dwindling, surely in countries like ours. You don't close 42 churches in the Archdiocese of Detroit without a reason. Finances, my eye. It's faith. Faith. And faith for our purpose. Faith in the precious holiness of human life. Whether unborn or born, whether, as we say, normal or handicapped, no matter what the age, what is the early church were considered the three most grave sins? They were murder, apostasy, and adultery. And the Pope raises this question. I'm making questions of the Pope's statements. But he raises the question. And they were murder, apostasy, and adultery. They carried with them the penalty of lengthy public penance, for the repentant sinner would be readmitted to union with the church. Hear it. Some of you may know, when we had plenary indulgences, then we had partial indulgences, and we used to talk, remember, about an indulgence of 40 days, remember? Oh, that was a big indulgence. 7 years, remember? 7 years and seven times 40 days indulgence. You know what that originally meant? That was a penalty. The standard penalty for murder, apostasy, and adultery. An unfaithful husband goes to confession in the early church, confesses he was unfaithful to his wife. He had to do penance for 7 years, and 7 times 40 days. 7 times 40 is 280 in my arithmetic. And among the penances he'd have to perform for 7 years was he was forbidden to have marital intercourse with his wife. And of course he'd have to practice chastity, as the men in the audience know, to practice abstinence for any man from sexual experience is not easy. Women will not know until eternity what it costs men to practice continence. I have no idea. But notice, among these three crimes was murder, including abortion. And those three, believe me, go together. No statistics, but my priestly experience, I would say most of the abortions are performed on the children conceived to fornication or adultery. Number 118, and then we'll close this class with 118, take a break, and then continue with the next course. Can anyone renounce the right to self-defense? The answer is no. Everyone has a right to love his own life, which in fact is a norm for loving one's neighbor. So we may defend ourselves. And so 119 answers itself. Of course, there's such a thing as legitimate self-defense. In other words, we may not intend to kill someone who is threatening our life. Or we may use any means, to protect our life. Without intending to kill the would-be murderer, we may defend ourselves even to the point where the would-be murderer dies, not because we want to kill him, but because we want to protect our own lives. And then 120 and the future, and there are many questions. Read until the next class, which is, did you say next week?
Yes.
And now, what do you make it? A 10-minute break. Is that okay? And then we'll pick up our other course and then have time for questions. So we all will be free from these quarters by 4:15. And just the sign of the cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. See you in 10 minutes.